QRR4 practice space, part two of number one, the balloon job. Ready? It is ludicrous for Rishi Sunak to say when he is standing for the leadership that he wants to characterise China as a strategic threat, but then say it is just a strategic challenge. Tobias Elwood, chairman of the Commons Defence Select Committee, said that if Parliament was sitting, he would be raising a question on whether the balloons had been seen above the UK. He said, "I want to know, if this is what China is doing, what is our response? This is intrusion and intelligence gathering. There are some big questions to be asked across NATO. I would encourage the government to provide assurances that our skies are patrolled and that there is no infiltration at high altitude." Mr. Elwood also called on Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, to increase defence spending in next month's budget. And amid claims, Mr. Wallace is asking for at least £10 billion more. He said the Defence Committee warned a year ago that our armed forces were now too small to meet our security obligations, given the growing threats on the horizon. "We have consistently called for an increase in defence spending, but instead we have witnessed scything cuts to our sea, land and air assets. When the US military says we no longer have a Tier 1 army and Germany raises concerns about us meeting our NATO obligations, it's time to stop being in denial. As the world becomes more dangerous, we need to spend more on defence. Defence spending will not be increased until a wholesale review of Britain's security has been carried out," Jeremy Hunt said on Thursday. The Chancellor told MPs that spending on defence would stay above the NATO target of 2% of national income. But he said nothing about the demand by Ben Wallace, his Defence Secretary, for spending to rise to 3% of national income by 2030. Mr. Hunt said he wanted a major review into Britain's security in the light of Russia's invasion of Ukraine to be completed by the next budget in the spring. He said our security at home depends on our security overseas. The privilege of being this country's foreign secretary showed me firsthand the enormous respect in which this country is held, because the United Kingdom is and always has been a force for good in the world. Nothing sums that up more than the courage of our armed forces. Men and women risk their lives every day in defence of our territory and our belief in freedom. The Chancellor pointed out that Britain had given £2.3 billion of military support since the start of Vladimir Putin's invasion, the second highest contribution in the world after the United States. "Our commitment to democracy and open societies remains steadfast," he said. In that context, the Prime Minister and I both recognise the need to increase defence spending. "But before we make that commitment, it is necessary to revise and update the integrated review written as it was before the Ukraine invasion. I have asked for that vital work to be completed ahead of the next budget, and today I confirm that we will continue to maintain the defence budget at least 2% of GDP to be consistent with our NATO commitment." Mr. Wallace has denied that he threatened to resign if the defence budget were not promised 3% of national income. Speaking to MPs earlier this month, the Defence Secretary said he would be fighting for as much money as I can get. But he admitted previous pledges to spend 3% of national income on defence were only an aspiration. Mr. Wallace pointed out that it was Mr. Hunt himself who called for the 3% target to be met as part of his leadership bid this summer. Liz Truss said in her leadership campaign that she would spend 3% of GDP on defence by 2030. Although Mr. Sunak only said he would spend as much as was needed to keep the country safe. Mr. Hunt, in his short-lived leadership campaign, said he wanted to see 3% by 2028. The defence budget took up 5% of GDP in the mid-1980s when the Cold War was still raging. Mr. Wallace told MPs 2 weeks ago that the Ministry of Defence would need about £8 billion from the Treasury over the next 2 years to protect the defence budget in real terms against the impact of inflation and foreign exchange changes. "I am keen that we get a budget insulated from the inflationary effects," he said. "What's changed is the United States' ability and willingness to shoot them down." While previous incursions initially went undetected, the US has reportedly developed a method to track them within the past year, and sensor filters have been adjusted to better detect slow-moving objects. Criticism of the administration in the wake of the first balloon incident has also likely created political pressure to swiftly respond to further incursions. Yet these shoot-downs are likely just the first shots in a new battlefield. Chinese military analysts have long viewed near space, the area between roughly 20 and 100 kilometres in altitude, as a domain for warfare, just like the air, land, sea and airspace itself. The major challenge is that this domain is too high for most aircraft to operate in, but too low for satellites. High-altitude balloons, however, fit the task perfectly. Balloons have been used in warfare since at least the French Revolution. Although they may seem like archaic technology, recent advances in fields like artificial intelligence have opened up intriguing new possibilities for high-altitude deployment. Thanks to these developments, balloons can now offer many advantages over traditional satellites. This starts with cost. Balloons don't require expensive rocket launches. I did read something wrong earlier. I added an extra word, air, in when it shouldn't have been. Sorry about that.